Welcome to Possibly, where we take on huge problems like the future of our planet and break them down into small questions with unexpected answers. I'm Megan Hall. Today, we have a question from my friend Jen Kennedy. She's a librarian at one of Brown University's libraries, known casually as The Rock. And Jen has been struggling with a confusing problem ever since she started working there.
It's freezing in The Rock, especially in the summer when it's hot outside. I have extra socks. I have gloves. Sometimes I even wear a hat. We all want to know, why is it so cold?
We turn to Nat Hardy and Will Malloy from our Possibly team to find an answer.
Hi, Megan.
Hello.
So what is going on here? Why would a library be colder in the summer when it's hot outside? That seems like a waste of energy, right?
It's a great question, and Jen is not alone on this. The internet is filled with people complaining that their local library is too cold in the summer.
And the answer is a little counterintuitive. It all has to do with humidity and energy efficiency.
Are you about to tell me that blasting the AC is actually an energy-efficient solution?
Believe it or not, yes. So one thing that makes heating and cooling libraries tricky is that the humidity of these spaces really matter.
Books need to be kept in pretty dry conditions, or else water in the air can damage them.
The same thing is true for anywhere else that holds sensitive objects, like art museums or science laboratories.
To understand how these buildings manage that humidity, we talked to someone who thinks about heating and cooling buildings efficiently every single day.
Hi, I'm Dave Larson. I'm the energy engineer in the Office of Sustainability and Resiliency at Brown University.
To understand this problem, let's go back to some of the stuff you probably learned in high school about how humidity works.
You may remember that the hotter air is, the more water it can hold.
If it's 100 degrees out, you can put quite a bit of moisture in that air and it'll be fine. Problem is, if you cool that air down, its ability to hold that water goes down.
So the space to hold water is shrinking, but the water isn't going away.
Exactly.
What happens if the air can't hold any more of that water?
It has to go somewhere. So that's when you get precipitation.
So it's going to rain, or you're going to have fog or snow or something like that.
Okay, so now picture this. Libraries, like all buildings, have ventilation, which means air from the outside gets brought into the building.
And on a humid summer day, that air from the outside brings a ton of water into the building, way more than is safe for the books.
So to deal with this, libraries need to remove that moisture from the air.
The best way to do that is really to get the air so cold that the moisture precipitates out of it.
To do this, they use a big system that's basically an industrial air conditioner.
It takes the humid air from the outside and makes it really cold.
So cold that the air runs out of room to hold the water and the water condenses into a liquid.
Have you ever seen a drip of water coming out of your air conditioner? That's the condensation coming out of the air.
Cool. So they pulled that humidity out of the air and now it's safe for the books?
Yeah. Now they have much drier air, but it's really cold.
The temperature might be 52, 54 degrees because you're trying to wring out the moisture.
Which is why Jen has to wear gloves in July. The hotter and more humid the summer air is, the colder they have to make it to dry it out.
In theory, you could heat that air back up now that the moisture is gone. And some buildings that want to be really precise about their temperature might do that.
But that's expensive and not very efficient. Think about how high your utility bill would be if you ran your AC and your heater at the same time.
So if you go to a library or an art museum in the summer, especially on a humid day, you might want to bring a sweater.
Got it. Thanks, Nat and Will. That's it for today. You can find more information or ask a question about the way your choices affect our planet at askpossibly.org. You can also subscribe to Possibly wherever you get your podcasts or follow us on social media at AskPossibly. Possibly is a co-production of Brown University's Institute for Environment and Society, Brown's Climate Solutions Initiative, and the Publix Radio.